Review on Radio U.
Hello everyone, this is Haikyao. Welcome to today's press review on Radio U. I am Haikyao Chemi, an exchange student from Brazil. And we are here with...
And I'm Minae, I'm also an exchange student and I'm from South Korea.
Thank you to Aurora, who is directing today's program. It's currently 9:43 in the morning. Today it's 11th of March of 2025. And the weather today is a little colder and cloudier than last week. There's a little of rain too.
Yeah, we're excited to be hosting today's program and bringing you the latest headline from all around the world. Right after our international news press review, we're going to share some local news in Korea and Brazil.
And don't forget, we want to hear from you. Reach out us at 331-1438-923 with your thoughts and questions. Today we are talking about the new Canadian Prime Minister and the International Women's Day that happened on Saturday.
You can read more about us in Radio UM IT and follow us on our social media, Radio UM.
So we are very happy to talk about today's topic, especially the International Women's Day as two women here in Italy.
Mm-hmm. So I hope you guys enjoy our news. Grab your headphone, relax, and enjoy today's news. You're listening to
Radio UM.
Welcome back to Press Review. Today we're bringing you two major stories.
First, Canada has a new Prime Minister. Mark Carney has been elected as the leader of the Liberal Party, replacing Justin Trudeau. But what's new and what does this mean for Canada's future? Well, let's dive into details.
Yeah, and it was International Women's Day. We'll talk about its significance, how it's celebrated worldwide, and why it still matters today. Let's get started.
According to The Guardian, Mark Carney is seen by the Canadians as the man who could stand up against Donald Trump and U.S. tariffs. Carney is not only the Liberal Party leader, but in the coming days will be sworn as the Prime Minister. According to the article, Trump has quickly forced the Canadians to rethink their priorities, including whom they trust to deal with U.S. president.
Washington Post also reported Mark Carney has been elected as the new leader of Canada Liberal Party, replacing Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. His leadership comes at a tense time, as former U.S. President Donald Trump has imposed heavy tariffs on Canadian goods, sparking fears of a trade war.
To better understand this implication, let's break this down. Mark Carney is the first outsider. In other words, he is the first person without a political past to assume the prime minister position. According to the news website Wall, despite his lack of political experience, his career as chief of two central banks, the Canadian one and the English one, was seen as valuable expertise to deal with Trump's tariffs. Wall says that Carney has the profile of an international manager used to dealing with crisis.
These characteristics of Carney started to be considered due to the trade war that Trump started. The American president accused Canada of having responsibility for fentanyl drug smuggling. Therefore, the U.S. had imposed 25% tariff on the import of Canadian products. However, on Friday, 9th of March, Trump established a trade war truce till the beginning of April.
On the other hand, according to BBC News, Mark Carney placed retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods until, quote, Americans show us respect. The journal also says that yesterday, Ontario's Premier Doug Ford also addressed the tariffs, confirming Ontario will implement 25% of surcharge on electricity exports to U.S. He threatened to shut electricity off if the U.S. escalate.
While global politics continue to shape economic policies, another crucial movement is making wave across the world. One that has been fought for over a century, the right for gender equality.
According to reports from the Washington Post, International Women's Day is being marked by significant events worldwide. In South Korea, let's pass through our Korean here.
Yeah.
To say it.
In South Korea, the 40th annual Korean Women Conference is scheduled for March 8th under the theme Feminist Save Democracy. This event will take place near Gyeongbokgung Station in Seoul, reflecting the nation's commitment to gender equality and women's rights.
Well, now The Guardian put together some of the protests and celebrations from all around the world, and this year's global theme is Accelerate the Action. In Turkey, one of the main discussions was the declaration of the government about 2025 being the year of family and its implication for women. Protesters pushed back against the idea of women's role being confined to marriage and womanhood and motherhood, sorry.
Associated Press News also highlights the Mexican protest, which hosts one of the region's biggest marches. Celebrations this year are marked by sharp contrast. While the country celebrates its first female president, many also mourn victims of stark violence against women, including femicide.
In Madrid, The Guardian focused on the protesters held up large hand-drawn pictures of Giselle Pellicot, the woman who was drugged by her now ex-husband in France over the course of a decade so that she could be raped by dozens of men while unconscious. Pellicot has become a symbol for women all over Europe in the fight against sexual violence.
In the Nigerian capital of Lagos, thousands of women gather at the Mobali Johnson Station, dancing and singing and celebrating their womanhood.
Now, the song to celebrate the International Women's Day for all women around the world. Let's sing Run the World by Beyoncé, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Run this mother. Check, come at their neck. Disrespect us, no, they won't. What? And we are back with our news from the international and other countries.
Yeah, we're going to talk about specific news from Brazil and also South Korea.
From the tropical country, Brazil has faced an intensive heat wave since February. The temperatures hit more than 30 degrees for several weeks. Last week, on Friday, the civil defense even emitted for the first time a warning for severe heat in the west area of São Paulo, around the cities of Presidente Prudente and Araçatuba, according to CNN. The journal also says that based on information from Climatempo, the summer of 2025 is the second hottest in history, with an average temperature of 0.7 degrees above the climatological normal. This record is expressive, taking into consideration that this summer it's only behind of the one from 2024, which had the influence of El Niño. During El Niño period, the temperatures tend to get higher. However, the influence of this natural phenomenon did not happen on this current scenario. In this way, the absence of an intensive El Niño during the summers brings up questions about the warming. Well, and now, after more than 2 months of heat wave, a cold front should lower the temperatures, according to Terra website. Besides the cooling of the weather, heavy rains and intensive winds are expected. Moving on to Brazilian politics, the indictment of the former president Jair Bolsonaro for a coup attempt in 2023 entered a new phase. The news from website G1 says that after the accusation made by the Attorney General's office, the process was waiting for the previous defense of Bolsonaro and the other 35 accused. Once the deadline for the defense has passed, the indictment goes to another stage. The minister, Alexandre de Moraes, will analyze the documents and pass the subject to the jury formed by the judges Cristiano Zanin, Carmen Lúcia, Flávio Dino, and also Alexandre de Moraes. These ministers will decide if the indictment will be taken, and then it will go to trial. Otherwise, the case will be archived. The BBC News analyzed the five crimes that Bolsonaro is being accused of. There are criminal organization, coup attempt, and violent abolition of the rule of law, damage to the union's property, and deterioration of listed heritage. And among the other 35 other accused are Alexandre Rodrigues Ramagem, former director of the Brazilian Agency of Intelligence during Bolsonaro govern, General Augusto Heleno, former chief minister of institutional security of the president, Walter Souza Braga Neto, former defense minister, and Mauro Cid, former Bolsonaro's aide-de-camp.
Welcome again to the press review from all around the world. And today, as a Korean, we're diving into major security development in East Asia, especially in South Korea. According to the recent report, the Korea Times, North Korea has unveiled its effort to develop a nuclear power submarine, raising serious concerns for South Korea and its allies. On Saturday, North Korea's state-run media, the Korean Central News Agency, KCNA, released a photo of leader Kim Jong-un inspecting shipyard focusing on warship construction. Among these warships, North Korea claims to be working on a nuclear power strategic guide missile submarine. This is the first time the regime has revealed the appearance of such a vessel, signaling the potential shift in its naval capabilities. Experts believed his submarine could be the 5,000 to 6,000 ton class, making it significantly larger than the North Korea's first known ballistic missile submarine, the Hero Kim Kwon-ok, which is estimated at around 3,000 tons. Defense analysis suggests that given its size and structure, the vessel is likely designed to carry ballistic missile, potentially boosting North Korea's second strike capability. However, a key question remains. Has Russia assisted North Korea in developing nuclear submarine technology? Some experts argue that Pyongyang may have received Russian technical support in exchange for supporting conventional weapons to Moscow amid the ongoing war in Ukraine. According to the Korea Times, there are speculations that North Korea may have obtained technological support from Russia in late 2023 while providing artillery shells and missiles in return. On the other hand, some analysts remain skeptical. They argue that while Russia may offer some expertise, it is unlikely to share its own military technologies with Pyongyang due to the risk involved. North Korea has a history of acquiring Soviet and Russian technology, reverse engineering and combining it with its own developments. But even with these efforts, experts estimate it could take at least 4 to 5 more years before North Korea's nuclear submarine is fully operational. Meanwhile, South Korea's Ministry of Unification has stated that it is closely monitoring any potential technologies transfer between Russia and North Korea. Officers have also reminded Moscow of its obligation as a permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, emphasizing that the transfer of military technology to Pyongyang is strictly. As tensions continue to rise, we will keep a close eye on developments surrounding North Korea's military advancement and regional security dynamics. That's all for today's report. You've been listening to Radio Yum.
Radio Yul.
Your way to play.
And wraps up today's press review on Radio Yum. We hope you could catch up the latest headlines and our local stories from Korea and Brazil.
Don't forget to follow us in our social media, Radio Yum, and check out more content in radioyum.it. If you have any other thoughts and questions, reach out to us on 331-1438-923. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you for tuning in. See you next time, same time.
Until then, take care and keep exploring the world through news.
You've been listening to
Radio Yum. See you next week.
Press review on Radio Yum.